In the enchanted world of fairy tales, few books have captured the imagination of readers like The School for Good and Evil. This modern classic by Soumen Chanani has bewitched millions since its 2013 publication, spawning a six-book series, a Netflix film adaptation, and a devoted global fandom. What makes this tale so compelling is how it cleverly subverts traditional fairy tale tropes while exploring deeper themes of friendship, identity, and the artificial boundaries between good and evil. Even celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Neil Gaiman have praised its originality, with the latter calling it a fairy tale like no other. The story begins with a simple premise. Two girls are kidnapped from their village and taken to a magical school, where fairy tale heroes and villains are trained, but they find themselves on opposite sides of what they expected. Every 4 years, in the sleepy village of Gavaldon, two children vanish without a trace. One beautiful and good, one odd and homely. While most children hide in terror during these kidnappings, Sophie, with her flowing blonde hair and meticulous beauty regimen, dreams of being taken. She believes with unwavering certainty that she's destined for princess life in a fairy tale. Her father, a wealthy widower, tries desperately to protect her by barring her windows, convinced that Belle, a genuinely good girl from the village, will be chosen instead. Meanwhile, in a cemetery cottage atop Graves Hill lives Agatha, a sullen, black-clad girl with bug eyes and greasy hair who shares her home with her mother and her cat, Reaper. When Sophie visits, bearing chocolates and an invitation for a walk, Agatha is immediately suspicious. "No one's ever asked me to go for a walk," she says, convinced Sophie must have ulterior motives. Yet, despite her reluctance, she agrees. As they stroll through the village, preparing for the schoolmaster's arrival, parents disguising beautiful children as ugly and vice versa, the girls discuss the legend of the school for good and evil. Sophie believes wholeheartedly in the fairy tales that arrive mysteriously each year, showing their village's missing children transformed into heroes and villains. Agatha dismisses them as foolish stories. If there really was a schoolmaster, she challenges, why would he waste his time on a bunch of average children? By the lake, they share a rare moment of connection. Sophie admits she can't bear to live an ordinary life, while Agatha confesses that Sophie makes her feel ordinary, which is all she's ever wanted. This tender exchange reveals the core of their unlikely friendship. Each sees in the other a path to their deepest desire. As night falls in Gavaldon, villagers form a protective ring around the forest with torches, while children lock themselves away. Sophie, however, deliberately removes her window locks and leaves gingerbread hearts on her windowsill to make her kidnapping convenient. A princess must always be prepared, she tells herself while applying cucumber slices to her eyes. The kidnappings began 200 years ago. While adults blamed bears or other wild theories, the children discovered the truth by recognizing their missing friends in storybooks that mysteriously appeared at Mr. Duville's shop each year. Jack became the boy with the beanstalk, Anya the little mermaid, each pair divided between good and evil. The books arrived annually, and Mr. Duville painstakingly copied them for every child in Gavaldon. When questioned by the Council of Elders, he couldn't explain their origin. Eventually, a seal revealed the source, SGE, the School for Good and Evil. On this particular night, Agatha, concerned for her friend, secretly watches over Sophie's house. When the schoolmaster's shadow appears, Agatha tries to stop Sophie's kidnapping but gets taken along with her. A skeletal stymph bird carries them through a perilous forest journey until they reach twin castles, one gleaming and beautiful, the other dark and menacing. To their mutual horror, Agatha is dropped into the school for good while Sophie plummets into the school for evil, the exact opposite of what they expected. "This is a mistake," Sophie screams as she lands in a moat of black sludge surrounding the evil castle. Inside, she finds herself among physically grotesque students with cruel expressions, all staring at the beautiful princess in their midst. Meanwhile, Agatha wakes under talking lilies to find herself in the School of Good, surrounded by beautiful girls tended by fairies. Both girls desperately try to escape and meet at the bridge between schools, only to slam into an invisible barrier before being dragged back to their respective schools. As the girls struggle to adjust to their misplaced roles, they learn the history of the schools from their roommates. Two twin brothers, one good, one evil, originally founded the schools together and protected the Storian, a magical pen that writes all fairy tales. After the evil brother attempted to control the Storian, a great war erupted, resulting in one brother's victory. Though the victor's identity remains officially unknown, evil hasn't won a single story since, suggesting good's triumph. The schools operate on a strict ranking system, with students placed into leader, follower, or Mogriff tracks based on performance. Those receiving three consecutive last-place rankings fail immediately, with mysterious consequences. Sophie and Agatha discover they are readers from the woods beyond, brought in like every class before them, though readers haven't succeeded in 200 years. In the School for Evil, Sophie is assigned to room 66 with three witches: Hester, with a demon tattoo around her neck; Anadil, an albino with red eyes and pet rats; and Dot, a plump, friendly girl with a sweet tooth. When Sophie insists she belongs in good and asks to see the schoolmaster, her roommates mock her princess-like appearance. After Sophie desperately tries to prove she's good and fails, the witches nearly throw her out the window until she screams, "Look at me and look at you," a comment that convinces them she might belong in evil after all. Meanwhile, Agatha struggles to fit in among the princesses of good, including the beautiful but vain Beatrix, who has her sights set on Tedros, King Arthur's son and the most eligible prince in school. When the schools gather for the welcoming ceremony, Sophie becomes instantly infatuated with golden-haired Tedros, deciding, "He's mine," while Agatha insists they need to focus on going home. As the schools sleep, Sophie and Agatha emerge from the moat to observe the schoolmaster's tower. After discarding various escape plans, they realize their only option is reaching the schoolmaster himself. Using a stimpf bird as transportation, they manage a dangerous flight to the tower, crashing through a window despite attacks from fairy and wolf guards. Inside, they discover a library filled with every fairy tale ever written, all penned in the same elegant script. They encounter the Storian, a magical floating pen which begins writing their own story. When the schoolmaster appears in silver robes and mask, the girls plead to go home, but he explains they're trapped in a fairy tale that must play out. He offers them a riddle. To prove Sophie isn't a witch and Agatha isn't a princess, they must discover the one thing evil can never have and good can never do without. Before they can answer, the room disappears around them, and they wake in their separate beds. The girls struggle to solve the riddle while navigating their classes. Sophie excels in villainous subjects, despite herself, while Agatha fails repeatedly at princess lessons. During a visit to the Garden of Good and Evil, actually a graveyard, Sophie notices the cryptkeeper burying bodies according to a pattern: evers together in pairs, nevers always alone. This reveals the answer to the riddle. True love's kiss is what a villain can never have, but a princess can't live without. Sophie returns to Agatha, confirming their mutual realization. If Sophie receives a true love's kiss from Tedros, it will prove she's not a villain, and they can go home. The problem? Sophie must get Tedros to genuinely kiss her, despite his current hatred for her. Agatha promises to help, and the girls embrace, determined to make it happen. As they hug, Agatha senses something has changed in Sophie beyond just her appearance. Meanwhile, in his tower, the schoolmaster watches the Storian complete a painting of the girls hugging, adding a final warning: but no kiss comes without its price. Sophie's increasingly desperate attempts to win Tedros fail spectacularly. During a week-long challenge where students must care for creature sidekicks, Sophie is assigned a rogue cupid named Grimm who inexplicably targets Agatha with arrows. Despite Agatha's warnings against magic, Sophie secretly obtains a love spell recipe and convinces Hester to help make it. When she attempts to shoot Tedros with the heart-shaped bullet during class, it rebounds and marks her with a scarlet F for breaking school rules, humiliating her completely. Meanwhile, Agatha begins to experience an unexpected transformation. When she accidentally smiles at Tedros, she finds herself uncharacteristically speechless. Looking in the mirror, she still sees her greasy black hair and bug eyes, yet everyone treats her differently. The revelation hits her. Beauty can only fight the truth so long. She realizes it's her happiness that transforms how others see her. Agatha breaks into cleansing sobs while maintaining her smile, having discovered a truth greater than any magic. As Agatha begins enjoying classes and caring for her appearance, Sophie grows increasingly desperate and bitter. During the trial by Tail, a dangerous nighttime competition in the Blue Forest, Sophie shapeshifts to escape attacks from good students. When Kedros is nearly killed by Hester's demon tattoo, Agatha saves him. The momentary unity between schools shatters as everyone sees Tedros glaring at Sophie, confirming their eternal enmity. After the trial, Sophie retreats to her room in despair, experiencing disturbing dreams where she sees herself as the Beast. To her surprise, she finds the hall decorated with congratulatory messages from Nevers, celebrating her Sophie trap that fooled Tedros. While Hort praises her genius strategy, Sophie discovers a black rose with a bitter note from Tedros calling her cheater, liar, snake. Crushed, she realizes this is her reward for love. Sophie's transformation is dramatic and deliberate. She dyes her previously golden hair pitch black, adopts heavy gothic makeup, and switches her pink dresses for severe black clothing that makes her look like a dark witch in training. When she returns to room 66, Hester's words, "Welcome home," carry double meaning, both an acceptance into evil's ranks and a suggestion that this was Sophie's true nature all along. The three girls form a tight-knit coven, with Sophie quickly establishing dominance. They cruelly force out their former roommate Dot, who had shown Sophie kindness, demonstrating how completely Sophie has embraced her new ruthless persona. In the clearing, Sophie orchestrates a calculated confrontation with Tedros. She appears vulnerable at first, asking with practiced innocence about the promises he made, promises of love, of choosing her, of their fairy tale ending. When Tedros genuinely appears confused and denies making such promises, Sophie's mask slips to reveal raw fury. Her vow of revenge isn't just words. She launches a systematic campaign against the school for good, each prank more destructive than the last. What starts with harmless mischief escalates to dangerous sabotage of classrooms and spells targeting good students. Lady Lesso's revelation about the Nemesis dreams carries ominous weight. These dreams, she explains, are a dark rite of passage for evil students, prophetic visions that reveal the face of someone whose destruction is tied to the dreamer's survival. Sophie's protests about loving Tedros ring hollow against her actions, leading to Lady Lesso's profound observation about the nature of good and evil. It doesn't matter what we are, it's what we do. This becomes a central theme, suggesting that identity is shaped by choices rather than inherent nature. As the snowball approaches, tension builds throughout both schools. The defacement of the good school's cherished angel symbol, pristine white V, now streaked with violent red, serves as both vandalism and prophecy. The red streaks resemble bloody tears, hinting at violence to come. Tedros' public denouncement of Sophie as a manipulative witch creates a pivotal moment for Agatha, who finds herself torn between loyalty to her friend and growing doubts. Agatha's experience at the bridge becomes a turning point in the story. Her reflection showing a princess isn't just about physical transformation, it represents a possible future she's been denying. The mirror's insistence that Tedros is yours forces her to confront uncomfortable truths about her feelings and her role in the unfolding events. The Gallery of Good scene adds layers of prophecy and warning. The reader prophecy painting, showing children burning books while shadows emerge from woods, suggests a breakdown of traditional fairy tale rules. Professor Satter's lesson about villains being closest to us takes on new meaning in light of Sophie's transformation and Agatha's realizations. His sudden disappearance adds to the mounting sense that events are spiraling toward an inevitable confrontation. As the Circus of Talents commences in the Theater of Tales, 20 carefully selected duels between ranked students from each school unfold before a tense audience. The schoolmaster, perched in his shadowy box above, serves as the ultimate judge, determining each winner and devising increasingly cruel punishments for the losers. The first four contests swing decisively in the Evers' favor, with Beatrix's graceful butterfly transformation and Chaddock's masterful swordplay leading the charge. The defeated Nevers suffer humiliating fates, one turned into a toad, another forced to speak in squeaks, highlighting the harsh consequences of failure. When Agatha's turn against Hester arrives, she finds herself paralyzed with fear, having prepared no talent to showcase. The pressure mounts as Hester confidently displays her demon tattoo powers. After a brutal hit sends Agatha briefly into unconsciousness, she awakens with a startling revelation. Her true talent emerges not as a conventional magical display, but as the ability to reveal hidden truths. She exposes the dark secret at the heart of both schools. The wolves guarding evil and the fairies serving good are actually transformed students who failed to conform to their assigned roles, condemned to serve as eternal slaves. This emotional revelation brings both Evers and Nevers to tears, transcending school rivalries and winning Agatha the match through pure empathy rather than traditional magic. The circus takes a dramatic turn when Sophie makes her entrance, her transformation shocking everyone present. Her once golden hair has become white speckled black, her flawless skin now warded and sallow, and her bright eyes turned to murky gray pools. She dramatically challenges Tedros to complete their unfinished match, but instead of engaging her, Tedros kneels before Agatha and asks her to be his princess for the upcoming ball. This sparks a chain reaction as Everboys throughout the theater drop to their knees, proposing to their chosen princesses. The atmosphere becomes thick with romance and joy, everything Sophie once dreamed of but can no longer have. Consumed by hatred and jealousy, Sophie reveals the full extent of her newfound dark powers. She summons a murder of ravens that savage the school's wolves in a display of brutal dominance. The circus crown, sensing the shift in power, declares Sophie the victor. In her moment of triumph, she unleashes devastating magic that sends both schools crashing violently into the good stare room, symbolizing the collapse of the barrier between good and evil. The chaos reaches its peak as Sophie systematically destroys the glass stairs beneath the fleeing Evers. In a cruel twist, she uses Agatha's appearance to trick Tedros, who rushes to save who he believes is his princess dangling from a cliff. Instead, he finds Sophie, who attacks him with a paralyzing scream that brings him to his knees. When Agatha intervenes to protect Tedros, Sophie turns on her former friend with savage fury, leaving Agatha wounded both physically and emotionally. In a chilling declaration, Sophie names Agatha her nemesis, vowing, "I'll only be happy when you're dead." The transformation completes as Sophie catches her reflection in the shattered glass, her witch's face now fully formed, beautiful in its terrifying way. Instead of recoiling, she embraces this new identity, accepting her pure evil nature with a wicked smile that signals the death of the princess she once wanted to be. Sophie climbs the schoolmaster's tower, determined to destroy both the Storian and its protector to prevent Agatha's happy ending. She discovers the unguarded Storian, but when she tries to seize it, it pricks her finger and uses her blood as ink to paint her future, showing her with the schoolmaster himself, now unmasked as a beautiful youth with white hair and blue eyes. He explains that he's been testing Sophie to find his true love, revealing that he killed his brother to tip the balance toward evil. He believes their union, evil's love, will create never after to counter good's love. As they kiss, Sophie sees his true decaying form and the hate beneath and breaks free. Agatha rescues Sophie, but the schoolmaster attacks. Sophie sacrifices herself by taking the Storian meant for Agatha. Professor Sauter, revealed to be possessed by the good brother's spirit, defeats the evil schoolmaster. Sophie dies in Agatha's arms, but is revived when Agatha kisses her. The true love's kiss that solves the riddle wasn't romantic love between Sophie and Tedros, but the deep friendship between the two girls. The schools unite in celebration, and both girls begin to shimmer as they hear Gavaldon's clock. Who needs princes in our fairy tale? Sophie smiles, as the Storian blazes with new life and the children's divided robes melt into the same silver. As the jubilant crowd approaches, both girls turn translucent. A princess and a witch, Sophie says. Friends, Agatha gasps, as Tedros reaches for her too late. In a flash of light, they're gone, return to their world. The story concludes with a powerful message. True love comes in many forms, and the most powerful magic of all is friendship. By challenging our preconceived notions of good and evil, beauty and ugliness, the tale reminds us that we are defined not by how we look or where we come from, but by the choices we make and the connections we forge with others. In a world that tries to sort us into neat categories, sometimes the most revolutionary act is refusing to be defined by anyone else's story. What makes The School for Good and Evil so compelling is how it systematically dismantles fairy tale conventions while honoring their emotional core. Sophie and Agatha's journey forces us to question our assumptions about appearance and morality. Is Sophie evil because she's beautiful but selfish? Is Agatha good despite her grim appearance and antisocial tendencies? The story suggests that these categories are far more fluid than we imagined, challenging readers to look beyond surface-level judgments and stereotypes that pervade traditional fairy tales. Throughout their adventure, both girls undergo profound transformations that mirror real-world coming-of-age experiences. Sophie, who begins obsessed with physical beauty and fairy tale endings, discovers the darkness within herself when faced with rejection. Her descent into villainy isn't just about jealousy, it's about her inability to reconcile her self-image with reality. We see this particularly in her interactions with Tedros, where her desperate attempts to maintain her princess facade ultimately reveal her deeper insecurities. Meanwhile, Agatha, who begins believing herself unworthy of love, discovers that her capacity for friendship and sacrifice makes her truly beautiful. Her evolution is marked by small acts of kindness and courage, from defending outcast students to risking her life for Sophie despite their differences. The schoolmaster's riddle, the one thing evil can never have and good can never do without, initially seems to point toward romantic love, following fairy tale tradition. But the final resolution reveals a deeper truth. The most powerful love isn't between princess and prince, but between friends who see each other's true selves. This is demonstrated throughout the novel in subtle ways, from shared midnight conversations to moments of brutal honesty between the two girls. When Agatha's kiss revives Sophie, it demonstrates that friendship can be just as magical and transformative as any fairy tale romance, perhaps even more so because it's built on understanding rather than superficial attraction. The story weaves complex themes about identity and self-acceptance through its magical framework. Sophie's struggle with her reflection in the Storian's pages, Agatha's gradual emergence from her shell in the school for good, and their shared defiance of the school's rigid categorization all serve to highlight how personal growth often means challenging societal expectations. In the end, both girls reject the rigid categories imposed by the school, refusing to be defined as simply princess or witch, good or evil. Their bond transcends these artificial boundaries, suggesting that true happiness comes not from fulfilling predetermined roles, but from authentic connection and self-acceptance. As they shimmer away from the fairy tale world holding hands, we're left with the powerful message that sometimes the most magical ending isn't happily ever after, but simply together, a truth that resonates far beyond the boundaries of their enchanted world.